This is Computer Talk, July 1989. Well, hello everyone, as we are the editors here of Computer Talk, the magazine for the VDU group, myself being Frank and
Julia.
We hope you will enjoy the magazine this time. We have quite a number of interesting articles for you, although I hope you've enjoyed the recent hot weather. Actually, it's now raining and severe winds are about Newcastle, and it's very, very cold. I suppose that when we went to the Edinburgh exhibition, which you may hear a little bit about, it was extremely nice and a very good exhibition. So I think, first of all, we'll go over to the secretary's desk and see what he has to tell us.
Hello, and summer greetings to you all. What lovely weather we're having. Certainly in East Anglia here we have done very well, thank you. I'm afraid it's not been quite as good in Scotland, I believe. But nevertheless, nice to have summer with us. Perhaps one isn't at one's computer so much of the time at this time of year, outside in the garden instead listening to the cricket, if one can bear to listen to the cricket. Right, what news have I? Oh yes, an update on the address of Dolphin Systems. The address for Dolphin is now Dolphin Systems for the Disabled Limited, Box 83, Worcester, WR1, 2RN. And their phone number is 0905-723-654. So, slight changes from the address that was given a few months ago. Otherwise, still the same people, Peter and Paul, and I think they've got a secretary bird now, Maureen, as well. And also, Dave Caldwood and his wife Rita are also working for Dolphin. I think you have their helpline number, 0908-508-666. Daytime only. If you phone it in the evenings, you'll get an answer phone on which you can't leave a message. So it just tells you who they are and that's it. The reasoning behind that was that they found that they were calling so many people back from when messages were left on an answer phone, and they weren't getting through and all sorts of things, so it became rather difficult. And I think, talking of Dolphin, you'll be hearing a little later on a demonstration of the Apollo and how its speed, pitch and pausing can be adjusted. So more of them later. From the RCEVH, there are new things coming out. They now have an updated screen reader and Talking Wordwise packages, which are very interesting. I have both. Now, I have had trouble with the sideways RAM version of the talking screen reader on the Beeb, the Model B, but apparently it does work all right on the Master, so Malcolm Ross and co. are doing something about that, and that should be sorted out soon. But with this new version, you can in fact read the whole screen if you go into screen reader and hit V, and it'll read the whole screen. I shall be chatting about that to them and see if one might be able to get in a command to be able to fix the top line of that screen. So in other words, you could perhaps be able to just window off the screen and so only read part of the screen. For instance, if you're using teletext, you then wouldn't have to read the header line at the top each time. But We shall see. But some interesting little changes, and I think you will find it a useful package. What they have done in Talking Word-wise, though, which is rather nice, is that they've now programmed the copy key to take you into screen read, and the tab key, hey presto, will, when you press it, say tab, and it will move you along the appropriate tab setting. Well, I mean, it'll put in a, what does it use? It uses a white, right square bracket, I think, for its tab sign in the text. So that does all that for you, which is good. Saves you having to use Control-I every time. The other thing it does now is to, if you hit the break key, you don't lose your program. It just says break, and you're back where you started. So really, they've done some clever stuff with it. Now, their address has also changed, RCEVH. They are now Research Centre for the Education of the Visually Handicapped, University of Birmingham, School of Education, P.O. Box 363, Birmingham B152TT, as in teetotal. And their phone number is also different. That is 021 414 6733. So quite different, actually. And Jenny Whittaker is still there as the secretary, so she will help you if you want to get these new packages. Now, what you can do, you can either send your own disc, and I think they still then will send you the software free, or if you want to order it direct from them, you have to send your order with £5 per disc. And that covers the media package and posting and so on and so forth. But I do believe if you send your own disc with the request, plus a return stamp and label and so on, you can then get the actual software free. Now, the other thing about this is that it has a setting for the Apollo. And I might as well tell you about that. Well, I'll tell you about that in the next section. I don't think I have any further news on the secretarial front. I will wish you, with my pollen-laden nose, a happy summer, and talk to you again in the autumn. Bye-bye for now.
Well, there you are. That was our good secretary, Michael Cassidy, down there in Norfolk, giving us rather an interesting secretary's desk. However, as he stated, he is now going to give us a demonstration of the Apollo.
Right, hello once again. It's Apollo demonstration time. And I'm again seated one day at the computer. I have the newest version of the talking screen reader set up. The ordinary RAM version, as I said to you on the secretary's desk. The sideways RAM version, I haven't got going yet. I don't think anyone else has either on the Model B. In the Master, it will work. And interestingly, with this new version, if you put your disk in and you boot it up and you have a Master, it will automatically load the sideways RAM version into your Master for you. Now, on the Model B, that doesn't happen, but it will load the ordinary RAM version in. Now, there are a few differences. I mean, in the sideways RAM version, you can teach the certain keys to say a character string. So you can teach the return key to say return and that sort of thing, if you have a wish to do that. I tend not to use that sort of thing. I don't like things burbling at me too much. But there are those who prefer a little more customization, as it were. And so in the sideways RAM version, or as it's known on the in the documentation as the full version, then you can do that. But the ordinary RAM version is quite good. Now, the great thing about this new version is that it isn't destroyed by pressing the brake key. So if you hit the brake key, it tells you you've hit the brake key, but you don't lose your program, and you don't have to have the It doesn't whir the disk drive while you do that. The other thing is you can read the screen. Now I've got my right square bracket set as the screen reader. Top of the page, hit the V key.
BBC Computer Watford Electronics Room Manager 1, period 10, Spellmaster Watford Electronics DDFS 1, period 540, basic greater than.
There you are. It's now read the full screen. So, now, getting us on to the Apollo, while we're in screen reading, the function keys 8 and 9 will do something. Well, actually, function key 9 doesn't. It does seem to mention that it will, but it doesn't seem to say anything. Let's try function key 8.
Braid set.
Now, I've got it set for the braid at the moment, so what I will do is unlock with shifted 3, or the hash key. I then hit F8.
Votrax set. Mimic set.
Don't want Votrax or Mimic.
Apollo set.
But I do want the Apollo. The Apollo is now set.
Exit.
Hit the exit, and now I've got the Apollo set. Now, there are a few little coding differences. I mean, if I start that screen read thing going again.
Screen reading, BBC computer, Watford.
Now, with the M mute key, I can shut it up straight away like that. So that is why they have a special Apollo set. Now you can't adjust the speed, pitch or pausing of the Apollo with the screen reader. But what you can do from within screen reader is chain
CH period quote by EOLLO quote.
And this is a little goodie written by David Calderwood as a request. I think he had a few requests for it, so he quickly wrote one. While his beep survived, it's now, I think, conked out, so he can't do any more. But I have copies of this. Gordon Smith has copies of this, as I think Julian Frank told you in the last issue. So we won't waste time on addresses for that. But here we go. We hit the return key.
Program loaded. This basic program will set up a BBC computer to run the Apollo speech synthesizer by Dolphin Systems. Do you wish to run the program? Enter Y or N.
Might be helpful if I did.
Y, enter required speed.
Now, enter required speed. Now you've got, I think, speeds 1 to 15. Well, let's see what happens.
1, 4.
Just for fun. Yeah. You have got speed 14, but it ain't much use to any extent. Now, what it actually said was, are you happy? Press Y or N. So I'm not certainly not happy with that one. So what I will do is enter speed 4.
This is the new speed setting. Are you happy? Press Y or N.
Rather more sane, isn't it? And that's the speed I usually run at Apollo at, is number 4 on this setting. So let's hit the Y this time. I am happy.
Y, enter required pitch.
Now, the usual pitch I set is pitch 9. So, let's try pitch 15 and see what happens.
5. This is the new pitch setting. Are you happy? Enter I or in?
No, it's a bit of a pain, that one. Let's try...
Enter required pitch. One,
let's try 13.
3. This is the new pitch setting. Are you happy? Enter I or in?
Don't like that one very much, either.
Enter required pitch.
Let's try pitch 1.
1. This is the new pitch setting. Are you happy?
Well, he sounds as though he's got laryngitis. Don't like him very much either. Let's try 5.
5. This is the new pitch setting. Are you happy? Enter I or N.
No, he's a bit basso profundo, so he shan't have that one either. So finally we get, I remember which pitch number it was, 9.
5. This is the new pitch setting. Are you happy? Enter I or N.
Hey presto, yes, I am.
Why enter required prosody?
Now the prosody is an odd term. I don't know why they use prosody really. I don't think it's really actually the correct term. They should have used inflection. Although, well, anyway, they did use prosody. What it is, though, it is the sort of more inflection. Now, we'll play around with these a bit. Let's try 0.
0. This is the new prosody setting. Are you happy? Enter I or N.
Oh, it changed the pitch, too. Well, I don't know why it did that. I hadn't discovered that before. No, I'm not happy.
Enter required prosody.
Let's try 4.
4. This is the two grooves on your second. Are you happy?
I've brought my pitch back to where it was. But you can hear the difference, can't you? Let's try...
Ten very quiet grooves on your...
Prosody 7.
7. This is the new grooves on your setting. Are you happy? And the why or in...
Hear the difference? A lot more sing-songy. A bit liturgical, actually.
Ten very quiet grooves on your...
Not happy with that one. Let's try Prosody 8. 8.
Choosing number between 0 and 7. Ten very quiet grooves on your...
I was out of range. So it'll tell you if you go out of range with your numbers. I usually have it set at prosody 5. I'm not happy, so... Yes, he didn't ask me if I was... Right, sorry, that was mine. All right, we're now happy with prosody. Let's hit the Y. Now, the pausing is the sort of pausing between words, and I'll let you hear this. Let's try... Pause 9. Now you listen.
This is the new pause setting. Are you happy? Enter Y or N.
Well, I'm not. It's a bit staccato, isn't it?
Enter required pause.
Let's try 1.
1. This is the new pause setting. Are you happy? Enter Y or N.
No.
Enter required pause.
Let's try 0.
0. This is the new pause setting. Are you happy? Enter Y or N.
In fact, I run him at pause 0, but I think if you... If you want to run it at a slightly higher speed, you could then set your pausing a bit higher, and you would then find it might be more useful to have a slightly higher pause. So now, we're happy with that one. We'll keep him at 0. I'm going to say yes. Hey presto. There we are. The program's now exited itself, and... We are back in Screen Reader. Good, it's neat, it works well, no problems. I actually discovered, when he sent me the original copy way back when, that the pause settings he'd put in were 0 to 15. So, being an awkward customer, I tested it out, and it actually only works from pause 0 to 9, so I adjusted the program settings so that it now only works within the range pause 0 to 9. Pauses 10 to 15 aren't valid. At least they don't seem to be with the Beeb. Apparently they're supposed to be with Hal on the PC, but I've never really tried it out. Nevertheless, pause 0 to 9 are all valid and do work. So there we have the Apollo set. Well, we've had quite a few requests for it. It's been sent all over the world, this Apollo set program. Some have gone to New Zealand, Australia, so it under a good run for its money. In fact, it's free, so don't worry about that. Right, anyway, I was going to show you a few other little quirks of the Apollo, which are rather fun. Let's do a control break. Start FX 3.5. That opens the RS-232, or the RS-423, as it is on the Beeb. Hit at equals 2. Now, I'll do a star catalogue and you listen what happens.
Lord NASA at 6:6, Bombla Denzi to Breven Option Right Exec Director Library Lord Fila. Got L Apollo L Got L
Well, in that what I did was changing over to the German ROM, which I have installed in the Apollo. Now, you can have, in the Apollo, if you are so inclined, have a dual language board put in. And there are, I think, about 22 languages. I've got the English and German run ones on board. There is a French one, there's an Italian one, there's an American one. There's a Spanish one, and if you're so inclined, there's also a Swahili one, among others. But we'll change them back to the English one, so I'm going to do at equals 1.
Hello, syntax error.
There, it's now changed him back to the English ROM. But there are a few other nice little things. If I do at V2...
Syntax error.
He sounds a little different, doesn't he? give you a bit of catalogue with that.
Workbase page 66, Dartmouth NSIT drive 0, option 3, exec, directory 0, library 0, work file.
Yes, he's got clergyman's sore throat. Not a nice thing to have, so we'll have him lose it quickly. At V3.
Syntax error.
Listen to this.
Workbase page 66, Dartmouth NSIT drive 0, option 3, exec, directory 0, library 0, work file. Gutel Apollo L, Gutel DRCTB85L, file.
Who did he remind you of? I'm not sure, really. He's a little less bright than the original voice. Let's see what happens if we do at V4.
Syntax error.
All right. Don't worry about the syntax errors. That's just because I'm cheating the Beebs basic. Here comes the catalogue.
Workbase page 66, Marble NZT Drive 0, option 3, exec, directory 0, library 0, work file.
That's a little bit like the, what's her name, Beautiful Betty on the Kurtz file. What can we find with V5? At V5.
Syntax error.
Yeah, well, that's just a slightly higher pitched one. At V6.
Syntax error.
And he's a little higher. At V7.
Syntax error.
And that's as far as it goes. Now, there also are some other peculiar things you can do if you're really way out, and I really can't remember what they are, but you can make this, you can vary the tone of the speech quite subtly. Paul Blenkhorn has demonstrated this by you tap in a few letters and numbers, and it really does some quite intriguing things. It does tell you in his Apollo text leaflet with the PC HAL disk. If anyone's particularly interested, I can let them have the information on how to do it. He does warn you that you do it at your peril. I mean, I think rather jokingly, but you can make the Apollo do some very interesting things. I think there is one little thing you can do. If I do at X1, listen to this. Well, there he is, poor fellow. My wife has accused me of intoxicating him with alcohol, so I thought I'd better shut him up quick. But that, in fact, is phonetic mode, which I really, apart from the sort of fun side of, from our point of view, is not of great help to us, unless you want to write in phonemes into the Apollo, which is a very tedious way of getting him to speak. It's the same sort of thing, actually, as you can do with the computer concepts speech system. If you just have the one ROM in, you have to write everything in phonemes, and it's very similar to that. It sounds rather fun, doesn't it? So, there we are. He's quite a versatile beast. I don't know whether, you know, one regards these sort of speech and pitch characteristics as gimmicky or not. People do have their various ways of listening to speech, and some prefer one more than another. So you can change it very easily using the so-called at commands. You see, I can change the pitch and the prosody straight from the keyboard at F9. Let's see what happens. Oh no! He's drunk again. Hold on. Yeah, eternally drunk, I think. There we are. We've recovered him. He's back to life. Now, at F8.
Syntax error.
Yes, you see you can change the pitch directly at F7.
Syntax error.
At F10.
Zero syntax
Dave.
Syntax error.
You have to use the hex numbers on him, on that. At FB.
Syntax error.
See, so you can do it direct from the keyboard. I can't remember what all the other at commands are. Again, if you want them, I can get a list for you. But that Apollo set program will do all that for you, so I shouldn't worry about it too much unless you're particularly intrigued by it. So there we are. That I think gives you a good idea of what the Apollo can do. It's a neat little synthesizer. I was talking to someone yesterday who has never had her hands on a computer at all. Never really heard synthetic speech to any, you know, to any degree, and she had a demonstration of the Europa, which is a portable PC with an internal speech unit. It's all set up by Dolphin, and she found the Apollo very comfortable to listen to. And I must say, having used it now for a year nearly, it is, for long pieces of text, rather more comfortable than the sort of non-inflection synthesizers. I suppose there are possibly, you know, some bits of speech that are more difficult to understand with it, particularly if you're running him fast. And I've heard that some people find it rather irritating having this sort of artificial inflected speech. So again, it really is a matter of choice, and I don't think one should prejudge or make judgments on what is good and what is bad. Listening to speech is an individual preference, and I think each will find what he or she prefers most. But I have read quite a lot with the Apollo and found it quite pleasant. So, right, I think that's it. Next time around, I'm not sure yet, may do a little bit more on the screen reader and talking word-wise. I might go back to having another little word-wise session. Any requests, put them in. I'll surely let you have something if I can do it. Otherwise, I should just keep going on and you can either absorb it or cough it up and spit it out, whichever you prefer. Right, have a good summer. Bye for now. Cheerio.
Yeah, and cheerio to Michael as well. That was a very interesting and informative demonstration of the Apollo with all its attributes and gimmicks, etc. I know that some of you do have the Apollo, but there are others who will have heard of it many times but never really had a good demonstration of it. However, the next contributor is one we haven't heard from for quite some time, so I'm very pleased to have an article from him at very short notice, so here he is to introduce himself.
Hello, this is Malcolm Girling, once again speaking to you on what is the July 89 edition of the Video Group tape. I'm sorry there has been no contribution from me for the past two or three editions. My understanding was that the Video Group had actually finished. It was probably a mistake on my part, but that is how I understood it to be. And as you actually have to physically send a tape in order to receive the Video Group, of course I didn't bother to send a tape, so I never got one. So I just didn't realise that it had been carrying on. Anyhow, I'd like to make a contribution. It is at somewhat short notice, but first of all, I would like you to listen to what I have to say about my Microdot program, which I have expanded a bit over the past few months. If there were any purchasers of the original Microdot or my Multimode program, then you may wish to receive the new package. It, or depending on what version you may have, the following could be additional features. First of all, you can now have direct braille input from the computer keyboard, and this can be used in conjunction with the view word processor to give you a braille editor. But one of the latest edition is a program that you can use in conjunction with view to print directly onto a modified Daisy Wheel printer to give you embossed braille output. But another feature that's also been added is the ability to give you braille but in ink print version. And this would be done using not a Daisy Wheel printer but a dot matrix printer. So all you have to do is select what kind of output you require, and then everything is then sent to your printer will be in the output you wish. So if you do have a requirement for an updated version of Microdot, or you want a first-time purchase of Microdot, then do please contact me. My address is 32 George Pateman Court, Tennyson Road, Cambridge, CB1 2RG. My telephone number is 0223 460 356. Okay, let's get on with this quarter's edition of the Software Repair Workshop. As I haven't been sort of around for the past few months, I've got no queries that I can answer at present, but if you do have any problems with any software you're trying to run on your Beeb, then do please contact me at that address or the telephone number I've just given. Now, I'm offering a piece of software this month on the tape. It is a disk formatting program. But it is different from other disk formatters. Other disk formatters will either format your disk into 40 tracks or will format it into 80 tracks. Now this disk formatter actually gives you the best of both because it formats your disk in both 40 track and 80 track. Now you will need, of course, an 80 track disk in order to format your disks in such a way. If you've only got a 40-track drive, then the program will not be of much use to you. If you have an 80-track drive, which is not switchable to 40-track, you can still produce dual-format 40-80-track disks, but you will only be able to save your software onto the disk in 80-track format. If you've got a switchable drive, then you will be able to format it in both 40 and 80-track, and save copies of your programs on the disk in both 40 and 80 track mode. This might be useful if you send software to friends, or perhaps you might wish to sell some of your software and you don't know whether the purchaser has got a 40 track or 80 track drive. I've certainly found that the case. Selling software, you ask people what disk drive they got, 40 or 80, and they don't actually say when they place the order. But by having a dual format drive, you overcome these problems. At least, you overcome these problems if you produce your disk in a dual format. Okay, well, the program is called Format, and all you have to do is load Format and run it, or simply chain Format, and it asks you which drive you wish to format. You can type any number between 0 and 3. You don't have to press return after pressing the number between 0 and 3, but you are then asked to confirm your choice by pressing the space bar. Now the program as it stands at the moment is not geared up for speech, i.e. it doesn't have the necessary FX commands in for speech. In which case you could use it with your screen reading program to read the screen once there's information on there, or you could set up your screen reader to speak as output is going to the screen. And it will, in which case it will speak everything, because output to the screen is always followed by several carriage returns, so that it will work with any speech synthesizer. Now you can modify the program if you don't wish to use a screen reader. All output to the screen is done via the procedure PROC print, and you could include the necessary FX commands at the beginning of PROC print and the end of PROC print to switch on and switch off your speech synthesizer. Now you may wonder how such a dual formatting program works, and why not all discs are produced in a dual format. Well, to answer the second question first, in producing a dual format disc, you do in fact reduce the quantity of software that can be saved on the disc, and the amount of software you can save would be half that which you could save on a 40-track disc, or in other words, one quarter of what you could save on an 80-track disc. In many cases, that may well be enough. My Microdot program quite easily fits onto a dual format 40/80-track disc. Now, well, how does it work? Well, first of all, the disc is formatted in 80-track and then is formatted in 40-track. Now, the tracks 20 to 39 of the 80-track disc are formatted, and they are given logical track numbers 20 to 39. Now when we come to the 40-track formatting, we then use the tracks 40 to 78 on your 80-track disc and give those logical track numbers 20 to 39. Now these are the only tracks that are used. You're only using 20 tracks, hence you can see why we can only have one half of what can be saved on our 40-track disc. The tracks 1 to 19 are not used at all, and indeed they cannot be used at all, and a dummy file is saved on the disc which actually occupies the first tracks, that is tracks from 1 up to 19, or to be more correct, from 0 I believe up to 19. That prevents you, when you're trying to save any programs, that they then cannot be saved on those tracks, because you must not use those tracks. So when you formatted the disc, you will find a file on the disc, and that file is called dummy, and you must never ever delete it. Now you may wonder, how does the program know how to save in the correct place? Well, the catalogue on both 40 and 80 track discs is on drive 0, and this catalogue track, drive 0, can be read whether you've got a 40 track or an 80 track drive, because drive 0 is on the same place on both a 40 and 80 track disc. And this is the only reason that you can get a 40/80 track dual format disc. If the catalogue was not on drive 0, then it would not be possible, or at least it would be much more difficult to implement. Now that's about all I'm going to say on how the formatter works. To get any more involved would be going into the details of programming, which I'm sure most people are not interested. You can, if you wish, have a look at the program and see how it works. It is really only for the computer specialist, though. I've got a book in front of me here. It's called The Advanced Disc User Guide for the BBC Micro, and it does give details of the various procedures used in formatting a disc. They are called Osword calls, and I think that's the only book I've ever seen them published in. Anyhow, that ends the dual formatter. I'd like to come to this quarter's quick tip, and I've got a couple for you. I suspect one of them I may have given before, hence the reason for the second one. I don't know how many of you have a problem finding the correct keys on the keyboard. Like any good typist, most of you are obviously touch typists. But even touch typists, when they first approach the keyboard, look at the keyboard to find the home keys. That's the keys situated around SDF, JKL, etc. Those ones around there. Now, you may wonder, how can you find the correct positioning for your fingers on those keys? You might know that some computers, I believe IBM, have specially recessed keys for your four fingers, which I believe is the F key for your left hand and the J key for your right hand. So, well, we obviously can't have a recessed key, but what we can do is perhaps put a little mark on the key. You might like to stick sellotape on or something. One thing I have got is what is called high marks. You may have come across these. They're sold by the RNIB. They're fluorescent orange in colour, so if you're visually handicapped, they do stand out. But high marks itself is, well, it's a bit of a gooey substance. But you can perhaps write large letters with it. It's supplied in a tube. But on a keyboard, all you need to do is put a couple of spots on your, perhaps your F key and your J key. This is the keys I put my high marks on. You have to leave it for several hours to dry. But it does the job quite well, and you can use it for many other purposes. They do actually supply some instructions, which I'm just opening up. Giving you ideas of what you can use it for. And they do it for, you can use it for labelling maps and labelling dials and labelling jars. Or there's one idea here, even making raised dots on a set of dominoes. So it's quite good, really. The only trouble is it is quite expensive. The tube I bought was £3.90. That was some time ago, so it may well have risen in price since then. But there's something you may feel that it's worth purchasing. The other tip I've got, it's for labelling your disc in Braille. Now, the RNIB do sell some self-adhesive sheets. They're supplied on a piece of backing, so you can peel them off and you can cut them up as you wish. You can use them for all sorts of things. But what I do is I put this through a brailler, this plastic sheet, and braille on what I need. You can then cut up the sheet, and then peel off the backing, and stick this braille labelling directly onto your computer disk. Now, it's sensible to put it on what would normally be read upside down, simply so that when you've got your discs in your disk storage, when you run your fingers along, you can read them easily. But the one I use is in fact transparent, so that means if I stick it on a disc which has got a label underneath, anybody that's sighted that wants to use the disc can still see what the disc is for. Okay, I have just found out the catalogue number of the high marks I was talking about. It's P019366. And the self-adhesive sheets are just called that, plastic self-adhesive sheets. They are supplied in packets of 8, and their size is 28 centimetres by 29 centimetres. Which I believe is the size you normally have paper for a Perkins Brailler. And the catalogue number for the clear version is P019036. There is also a black version, but as I mentioned, you really need the clear version on your discs. But I'll give you the catalogue of the number of the black version. It's P019035. Now, the computer buffs amongst you may have wondered why I kept referring to Drive Zero as to where the catalogue was stored on a BBC computer disc. I don't know what made me say Drive. I did, of course, mean Track Zero, not Drive Zero. I will then be expanding in my Sideways RAM software. You may well remember that we did have one edition of that before I thought the VDU group had folded. And I will be adding to that Sideways RAM software. And we'll see lots of new features in the October 89 edition of Computer Talk. Okay, that ends the software repair workshop, and I'll speak to you again next quarter. Bye.
Well, thanks, Malcolm Gerlin, for that contribution and for doing it at such short notice for the July edition of Computer Talk. Anyway, we're coming to the end of side one, so to play us out on to side two, here once again is Golden Brown.